Good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Our God is awesome. He's amazing. He's incredible. There are no words to describe how good and how awesome and how mighty He is. And I trust that you are enjoying His love. You are enjoying His goodness in this season, you and your loved ones. I am just too excited to keep it together. So please bear with me. Last week, we were celebrating the love of our God. And that cup keeps flowing over, just so many things going on. I am truly overwhelmed by the love of God. Our cups are running to overflowing. They are brimming over with joy, with great excitement, with thanksgiving, with gratitude to our Father. And I knew this Bible study tonight would be a little bit of a challenge just because I'm a bit overwhelmed with thanksgiving for the love of God. How our Father loves us, how He loves us so. Wherever you are, thank you. Whatever platform you're joining us on, wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us again for another short teaching service this summer. God is amazing. He's good. Let's share a word of prayer and dive into the word that we have that we're going to be studying together. Father, we thank you again tonight. We bless you. I just give you praise. I am just so thankful to you for your goodness and your love and your mercy. For everything that you are to us and everything that you do for us. Thank you so much. We don't deserve it. Who are we that you love us this much? You just love us. You love us and many times we feel like our cups are full and then you come and you pour more in and you pour more in and it's overflowing and it's overflowing and it's overflowing. And truly, like the word of God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it's not yet entered into the heart of any man, the things that you have prepared for them that love you. But it's not just for them that love you. The things you have prepared for them that you love. Because you were the one who set your love upon us. It's because you loved us so much that we were born into this newness of life, and then we received the ability to love you just a little bit, just a fraction of how much you love us. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being so good, so kind to us. Thank you, God, for watching over your word to perform it. I thank you, God, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight, wherever they are joining us from, whatever platform they are joining us on. Bless them all, Lord, as we just gather around your word briefly tonight. I give you praise for it. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Give us illumination. Grant us great grace as we study the word of God tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh Lord, amen. You know, he loved us so much. He loved us so much. That's a scripture I was praying through. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. And verse 9. Whew, thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. Just think about that for a minute. He is the one who loved us. He is the one who loved us. He loved us so much, he gave us everything. He gave us the best of what he had. He gave us himself. He gave us Jesus. He loved us so much. And it was because of his love and how much he loved us that we were born into this new life. We did not have the ability to love him. We did not even have the ability to appreciate what he's done in our lives. We were so lost. We were so dead. We were so dumb. But his love raised us up. His love gave us a new beginning. His love went deep down into our hearts, and hearts that have been broken because of pain and sorrow and shame and sin in the world. Hearts that have been full of darkness and deadness. His love resurrected our hearts. His love brought us back to life. And when he did, we received the ability to love him. We received the ability to love him. And the love that we can have for him is such a minute fraction of the love that he has given to us. Yet, with that minute fraction of the love that we can give to him, he's made amazing preparations. Look at that scripture. Eye has not seen, but as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's the one who raised us up and birthed us into this new life. He's the one who loved us. He showered us with so much love. He's the one who did everything. And now, because of his work in our lives, we can love him with a fraction. Just a fraction of the love that he loved us with and loves us with. And with that fraction of the love that we can love him, he has made preparations for us. Look at what that scripture says in the Amplified. It says, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, all that God has prepared. He put in parentheses, that God has made ready and that God keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits that he has bestowed. All that God has prepared, all that he makes ready, and all that he keeps ready for them that love him. How could God love us this much? All that God has prepared, he has made our lives so complete. He has gone ahead. He has gone beyond. What are the things he has prepared? God has gone, he's gone way ahead into the seasons of our life, seasons of our future, when we have not even arrived there. Just like he did for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. long before they arrived, he prepared all that they needed for life and godliness. He prepared all. All he said was, just with a fraction of the love that I have loved you, and I've loved you with an everlasting love before you even came on this earth, before I formed you, before I put you in this garden, just with a fraction of the love with which I love you, just hold me in affectionate reverence. Walk in obedience to my instructions. Walk in the center of my will. Live a life that is pleasing to me. Remember, I am the essence of your being. So I gave you every opportunity. I gave you every blessing without holding anything back. And if you will embrace my love, I will blow your mind. This garden, as awesome, as beautiful as this garden is, as complete as it is for everything that you will ever need as humans, you haven't seen anything yet. If you would just embrace my love and walk in obedience and appreciate who I am to you, and with a fraction of the love that I've loved you, love me. Love me, reverence me, honor me. If you would do that, I will blow your minds. I can imagine that's what the Lord is saying to Adam and Eve. I'm so excited, I forgot to set my timer. Lord. Oh, hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this is 12 minutes I've done now. So let's set that timer for another 20 minutes. Glory to God. See, I can imagine the Lord having this conversation with Adam and Eve, and in that beautiful garden where he had prepared everything that they would need for life and godliness. You know, I'm not talking about Adam and Eve. I hope you know, the Lord is not having me talk about Adam and Eve just for the sake of talking about Adam and Eve. I'm actually talking about you and me and what our Father has done for us. Everything that the Garden of Eden depicts in the lives of Adam and Eve is really a reflection, just a little reflection of what our God has done for us. Hallelujah. Remember what that scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, whereby God has given to us exceeding, 2 Peter chapter 1, I think, great and exceeding promises. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can find it. He says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has gone ahead of us into seasons of our lives that we have not even arrived at yet. Now, I don't know if you know this. There's a deep revelation In the Psalms, this is glory to God. Thank you, Father. This is something that became a great understanding, a clear understanding to me decades and decades ago. There's so many Psalms, especially some of the Psalms of David, where he will talk about how his enemy went ahead to prevent him, how his enemy tried to prevent him. And I remember decades ago, I was doing a study of this prevent, because, you know, it was just, how did this enemy go ahead to prevent, and how did he prevent? And I came into this understanding. The Holy Spirit just gave me this broad understanding. Now, Satan is so evil. Satan is so evil that the things that he does in our lives today and the things that he's tried to do in our lives in the past are not just for the present. They're not just for the past. He's got a strategy and a plan to go ahead of us in anticipation of the good things that God has prepared in our future. He goes ahead of us to try to circumvent the plan of God, so that the good things that God has prepared for our future do not materialize. He's such an evil being. He's such a diabolical. That's the word. I've been looking for that word for a while. Remember, I was ministering one of those services in a Sunday service, and I just was looking for this word as trying to describe how sometimes he uses people. And the word, yes, evil is bad, is skin, all of that. But I was looking for the word diabolical. He goes ahead of God's children to try to circumvent the things that God has prepared for their future. He goes ahead. Now, you see that too. You see the picture of that in the Garden of Eden, actually. You see that in the Garden of Eden, because when the Lord sat around with Adam and Eve, having this conversation with them about how much he loved them, how much he had prepared for them, and how he wanted to fellowship with them and to for them to be his family, that Satan, that fallen Lucifer, had already put a plan together to circumvent the glorious future that God had for Adam and Eve and for generations after them that were to come. And what was that plan? He was going to manifest himself as a likable serpent that they could have a conversation with, that they could fellowship with. That's the meaning of the word prevent. You see it in a lot of Psalms. You open your Psalms, especially a lot of the Psalms of David, you do a word search on that word prevent. He'll talk about the enemy prevented me. The Satan has, and he's doing that even today. A lot of what Satan is doing in your life today is to try to circumvent the preparations that God has made for your future. So like Adam and Eve, if they had just embraced the love of God, and if they had just received that love and believed him, believed God and believed his love, and if they had walked and lived accordingly, and with a fraction of the love that he loved them, if they had just appreciated him and embraced him and loved him back, their lives would have been settled forever. Forever. They would have been so settled in the love of God. You know, that's really the key. As children of God, if we can become settled in the love of God, our lives will be set forever. If we can become settled in the love, the only way Satan ever achieves a lot of his goals in our lives is because we shift back and forth. Yeah, God loves me. I'm not so sure. God loves me. I'm not so sure. If he loves me, why? That's it. As long as Satan can find a way to get us unsettled, that's why Paul prayed that prayer. That's a great revelation right there. That's why Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians 3. And you've read that scripture, you've read that prayer, you've read it over and over. I have read it over and over. But this is one of the most powerful revelations from that prayer. When Paul prayed, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, verse 15, "now of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." That is one of the most powerful things that can happen in the life of any believer. That you being rooted and grounded in love. And that is one of the greatest points of attack of Satan against the life of every child of God. Everything he does in our lives is to get us to not be rooted, to get us to not be grounded in the love of God. And if Satan can achieve that, then he can circumvent the good plans, the great preparations that God has made for our future. Paul said, "I pray for you that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, the love of God, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Because when we are grounded and rooted and established in the love of God, then we are filled with the fullness of God. So Satan works hard. He works overtime to make sure we're not grounded in that love. What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 31, verse 3? He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." There is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. There is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. Everlasting means for the rest of your life, all the way into your future, everlasting, eternally. I have loved you. Before you get into tomorrow, I've already loved you tomorrow. Oh, glory to God. Before you get into next month, I've loved you tomorrow. I've loved you next month. Before you get into next year, I've loved you next year. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you long before you showed up. I loved you. And long after you arrive here, long after tomorrow becomes a reality and becomes a today for you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My God, there is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. And God said in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, he has loved us with an everlasting love. There is nothing you can do. There is no way you can walk. God will never stop loving you. You may stop enjoying the benefits of his love, but God will never stop loving you. Like Adam and Eve stopped enjoying the benefits of his love, but God will never stop loving them. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Do you remember that scripture? I don't know what is going on in your life today, but the Lord wanted me in this short Bible study tonight. The Lord wanted me to assure you that he has gone ahead of you into your future to secure your destiny. Long before you came here, he loved you. Long after you arrived, and long after you realize his love, he is forever going to love you. The Lord wanted me to charge somebody tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be one of many of God's saints who are grappling with difficulty, who are grappling with affliction and grappling with adversity and grappling with difficulty and grappling with all sorts of tests and temptations. Maybe you are going through something that maybe nobody even knows about, or something that is really deeply terrifying for you. And maybe you are somewhere where it seems like there's no hope even for this future we're talking about tonight. But the Lord wanted me to let you know he loves you with an everlasting love. He has already gone into your future to make preparations. He has prepared some things. He has made some things ready. He has kept those things ready. When you arrive at that future, they'll be there waiting on you. There are benefits of his love. Oh, hallelujah. There are benefits of his glorious love. There are benefits of his glorious love. Hallelujah. Do you remember that scripture in Hebrews 13? Where the Lord was saying, Paul was writing, and he was writing to the Hebrew Christians and reminding them God promised he will never leave them or forsake them. In fact, in the Amplified version of the Bible, remember, he kept repeating, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not leave you. Who do you know on earth? Do you know anyone on earth? No matter how deeply they love you today, do you know anyone on earth who can vouch confidently and you can take their promise to the bank that they will never leave you or forsake you? There is no one, my friend. Because even as much as we love people and as much as we want to be with people and people are precious to us, sometimes we do things, they do things, and we just don't want to see them. Let alone be with them. And unfortunately, some of those relationships actually become so badly fractured. We may have started from a place of love and affection. Those relationships sometimes can become so badly fractured that we, in fact, don't ever want to have anything to do with them. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you have been in relationships like this, where you thought this was going to be love forever. And suddenly the day came and you don't ever want to have anything to do with them ever again. That's human. That's the reality of the human situation. But God said, look at that scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. This is in the Amplified. He says, this is the B part. He says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree, leave you helpless or forsake you, nor let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. I will not do it. That is, he's gone into our future long before we know what the future holds. He has assured us, these are his preparations, that in every season of our lives, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, he will be our God. No wonder that psalmist said, for this God was powerful psalm. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide. He will be our guide even unto death, even unto the end. That is, he has gone into our future. He is our forever God. He's not just our God of yesterday. He's not just our God of today. He's our forever God. He's the God. He holds our lives in his hands. He holds our destiny in his hands. He holds everything about our lives in his hands. And as powerful and as glorious, as almighty as he is, he has guaranteed he will never ever leave us or forsake us. No matter what comes up in our future, no matter what shows up in our future, as we keep going on this uncertain journey of life with all the undulating experiences, the ups and the downs, all of the uncertainties that do come up. Oh my God. He said, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you, ever. I will be with you. In fact, you remember in you remember in Isaiah 43, he in fact then starts to list some of the things that could come up in our future. And God says, even if you walked through that, just like Psalm 23 said, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says, even then I will be with you. I will be with you. I'll never leave you. Right? My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you. See that? Psalms 23 and verse 14. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, surely, that is forever. That's not talking about yesterday. That's not talking about today. That's talking about forever. Into our future forever. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the same thing he says in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, he actually lists some of the circumstances that can come up in our future. And time is up tonight. Let's just do this and close out. Some of the things that can come up in this uncertain world, in this uncertain times, no matter what we feel today, no matter where we are today, the future is not a given to any human. No matter how good life is today, no matter what we have, what we've received, what blessings we enjoy today, nothing is a given. The only thing that guarantees our eternal well-being, glory to God, is the love that our Father has for us. Our love. That love that will never fail. He will. That love is the cloak of his love. The coat of many colors. Whether we are in the pit, or whether we are in Potiphar's house, whether we are in the prison, no matter where we are, he will never take away from us the coat of many colors that he made for us at the beginning of our walk together. His love is a given. His love is assured, even in this uncertain world. People will come and people will go. There'll be good times, but there'll be bad times too. There'll be mountaintop experiences, but there'll be valley experiences too. Sometimes life has us high, really high, and we feel what could go wrong. Other times, everything feels so low, it feels like the bottom is going to fall out. But through it all, our Father will always love us. We can go to sleep with assurance, confidence, knowing that our Father will always love us. We will never be without His love. Ever. Because of that, He guarantees He will bring us out. No matter what we go through, no matter what the path is, no matter how hard, how trying, how troubling, He promised. And that's what Romans 8:28 is all about. So yeah, well, what can separate us from the love of God? And He starts listing them. Tribulation shall, this shall, death shall, sickness shall, affliction. And then, no. In all these things, Romans 8:28-35. Nay, in all these things. I think it's 31, 32. If God be for us, who can be against? What can be against us? He who gave us His Son. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Nay, in all these things. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's the future is already given because of the love of God. The future is guaranteed. The future is not uncertain because of the love of God. Now, to make that future as certain as the love of God has prepared it, we've got to be grounded in His love. We've got to be settled, rooted in His love. To make the future, no matter what comes, to secure, the eternal plan, good plan of God in our future, we have to be secure in the love of God. We have to become rooted and grounded. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. I pray that you may become rooted and grounded in the love of God. That you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may become filled with the fullness of God. Oh, hallelujah. So whether you are going through the water, whether it, like you said in Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord from verse 1, that created thee, O Jacob, O Coyote, and He that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Are you redeemed? Yes, you are. It's talking to you right here. I've called you by your name. You are mine. God says you are mine. You belong to me. When you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. That's in the future. That's ahead. You don't know. But when you do pass, he said, well, not if. When you pass through it, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Neither will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, for I have loved you. I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Saints, oh my goodness, I'm so way over time tonight. You can see how great this river is. I can't turn off the faucet. I can't turn it off. Glory to God. I'm just overwhelmed by the love of God. He's been too good, too good. I will never leave you or forsake you. You go through the waters, I'll be there. You go through the fire, you go through the rivers. I will always, because you are precious. You are mine. You are mine. Celebrate the love of God tonight, saints. Celebrate it. Celebrate it right through this season. Just keep every day you wake up, thank you, Lord. Tell him, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. Every day, no matter what you feel, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on around you, every day, tell him, Lord, thank you for loving me the way you do. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving everything for me. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. I celebrate your love. I embrace your love. I receive your love. I believe in your love. I give you praise. I give you praise. We thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. We bless your name tonight, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Saints, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for being a part of this powerful. We went a little bit over than I like to go, but this one was a different one tonight. So thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you next week, same time. God bless you. Good night.